We take a look at the indie horror scene with a kaiju bent as we explore a fun American production with an unlikely oceanic enemy. But will this B-movie bewilder us or be a bust? Find out as we don our prom tuxes and head under the sea. This is Kaiju vs. History, Crabs!
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your local ganja-smoking Sheriff Patrick here, and joining me is nature's unlikeliest of assassins, Miles. Hey, Miles.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good, good. Crabs. Pretty late addition to our kaiju list. I don't think I had heard of this movie
when I have.
We started the podcast. Well, I guess I hadn't heard of it having kaiju in it. I don't think the initial posters they put out before it got to streaming, at least, really, or I don't think the trailer really
showed it. I feel like the initial one of the posters was a bunch of little crabs like going into a big one or something.
That's like the main poster, but it's still not like a kaiju sized.
No, I mean, but it kind of it makes me think kaiju stuff could happen.
Oh yeah.
One of the horror film podcasts I listen to is Fangoria's Colors of the Dark, which is hosted by Dr. Rebecca McKendry and Elric Kane, who are podcasters and film people who I have listened to for over a decade now. And Dr. McKendry is obsessed with aquatic horrors and horror things involving sea creatures. So as soon as this thing was in production, I kind of heard about this. And I have been looking for an excuse to find time to watch this for quite some time. So I was excited to get to this one.
Kaiju movie. Here we go. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got some aquatic horror. You've got an unlikely kaiju, I feel, in the horseshoe crab.
Yeah. Yeah. The final monster in the movie is, you know, a little Ebera styled, a little, I mean, it's not unheard of. And it doesn't look exactly like a horseshoe crab, obviously, because it's anthropomorphic. Right.
I certainly wouldn't call it a horror of the deep because it keeps making these little like cartoony Smurf noises when it moves. But before we get into this week's entry, Patrick, tell us what's in a title.
Crabs, Miles. Crabs is what's in the title. It's known if this actually got pretty wide release after I feel like its initial run in Fright Fest is where the film premiered August 26, 2021.
One of my bucket list places to go.
yeah. So it got around the world in Brazil and in Spain. The Portuguese or Spanish just translated to Killer Crabs, which is, you know, a great name. There's definitely a little bit of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes in this film. In China, the Mandarin translated out to Horseshoe Crab, so a little bit more specific, which I think is okay, but Horseshoe Crab is such a weird name for a crab, you know. In Japan, the title translated to kind of a combination of the two, Killer Horseshoe Crab. But yeah, I think it has been too long since we've had a movie with an exclamation mark in it, Miles. This one definitely deserves that exclamation mark.
Yeah, I like a good exclamation point.
Well, do you? This is the fifth kaiju film that we've covered with an exclamation mark. Can you name the other four?
Let's see. Was Zarkor one of them?
Zarkor was one, yes.
Okay.
Zarkor, and then subtitle after it.
Right.
Zarkor, exclamation mark. And I'll look. Oh, The Invader is the subtitle.
The Invader, yeah, Zarkor The Invader. I'm trying to think of other ones that had the exclamation point. I feel like they're mostly Americans, aren't they?
They are all American, yes.
Okay.
The other...
Craw? Is Craw?
Craw, also exclamation mark, okay. The sea monster. And then we're going back four decades before that for the other exclamation marks.
Oh, them.
Them, of course. Yes, that is the, in my mind, that's the kind of titular one. It's technically the first one, but then there's another.
Three. Where's the fourth one?
What's another one was also in the 50s, actually 1 year after them.
I don't know. What was it?
It's another bug movie, too. Tarantula.
Aha!
Exclamation mark. And now we have Crabs.
Crabs.
So it is kind of a throwback, I would say, this title.
Of all the animals or names on this list, I feel like the one that probably garners the most exclamation points in normal conversation might be crabs.
Crabs.
Crabs. What do you have? Crabs.
Crabs. Horseshoe. Crabs. Yeah, this movie deserves the exclamation mark. Honestly, the first 4 minutes or so of the film, like the cold open, I was expecting a much different movie, and
you weren't expecting some people getting on the beach with some full frontal nudity there for you.
Some crazy blood effects. Yeah. Pierce.
Also a great opening kill.
Oh, great. A very fun one. Yeah. Pierce Barlesheimer, the director who I believe this is his first feature film, talked about how he wanted to, both pay homage and subvert expectations a little bit with that intro, because you are expecting the rest of the movie there to be more gratuitous nudity, and there is none.
I really was, and they were really teasing it
yeah.
a few times, and I was like, huh. Didn't get any of that.
It's very gratuitous in the beginning of the movie, and then it just kind of switches gears and turns into kind of like a high school drama for a lot of it. Very sweet little indie love story in other parts. But yeah, Crabs, I had watched a trailer back in 2021 or so when we added this to the kaiju list, and I was like, why are people saying this is kaiju related? Like, nothing in the trailer I wanted to say showed the ending, which is kaiju. So I was like, wow, that's weird. But then when I finally got access to streaming the movie and scrub through it, I was like, oh, okay. And then, you know, it's kind of spoiled now if you go on to, you know, like their Letterboxd, or I think even the IMDb page, I think the kaiju poster. Oh, no. Yeah. If you watch it on Tubi, the Tubi graphic is the kaiju crab and the giant shark robot fighting at the
end. I love it because it does kind of have this kind of like 80s VHS style to it that I think is very, very fun. Like the actual poster is a little bit more, I would say, not formal is a weird word, but like it looks more like a poster. But this, the one that you see with the kind of crabs in the pink font with the robot and the kaiju, and then the monstrous crab kind of lunging at the viewer, it screams like 80s VHS, and I love it so much.
Yeah, the movie did remind me a little bit of Turbo Kid in some of its kind of sensibilities.
Really?
Yeah, a little, because, you know, there's definitely like some slapstick violence. It's got the indie bent to
it.
Yeah,
no. That's absolutely true. This is not the first one leap I would have taken, but I love that movie. So.
Well, I was about to say, there are so many influences on this film. We were talking about it before recording. Like, there's definitely a little bit of Gremlins in this movie.
Oh, 1,000%. And there's also this weird... So in the 50s and the 60s, there was this kind of movement of like crazy beach movies, not just like wholesome beach movies, but kind of like the kind of not teen sex comedies either, but somewhere in between. They were like drive-in movies. There was a movie that came out in the late 90s, early 2000s called Psycho Beach Party that was kind of paying homage or kind of parodying them. And this has such a vibe, that, especially the opening, like it feels like one of those movies. And I like that it feels very different. But you know what this film does as we get into it? I think that I kept thinking the entire film is, this is exactly what I want Asylum and these indie kaiju films to actually be like. Because there is a professional grade, like, technical aspect to this film. This it's shot very professionally. Like, it's the acting is, you know, fair to middling, but, like, it's all competent, and there has been great effort to make it feel like an actual film. And I'm looking more at Asylum. Like, if Asylum had the care to detail and the use of budget and the script of Crabs, I think Asylum would be knocking things out of the park left and right.
Yeah, it's really, I can't believe that, you know, some of those Asylum movies cost a ton more to make than Crabs, Crabs was, you know, not shoestring, but it was a very affordable kind of indie film, at least as far as some of the special. Yeah, some of the special effects were definitely within the budget of the Asylum's kind of oeuvre. And also, this is a really small cast, which is something that some of the Asylum movies does, you know, where it's just like five main actors. There's really, there's really just five main actors in this entire movie. Six, if you include the sheriff, who's really not in that much.
Yeah, I would really say there's like four main actors, you know, the two couples, really.
Radu, I think, is a honorary character.
Yeah, I forgot the I saw Harley wait way too many times character.
I did not think he was going to become a main character, and I flipped
also didn't
on,
think he'd write the theme song.
I flipped on him a few times, but by the time the ending rolled around, I was on board with Team Radu.
Yeah, no, it is certainly a character you go back and forth on being able to stand.
Yes. The movie takes place in Mendocino, California. It's actually shot just north of it in Fort Bragg. So this is pretty much an on-location kind of film. It doesn't feel like California. It kind of feels, I don't know, Pacific Northwest-y, but I guess it's not too far away. Is where they are in California. But there were definitely some changes to the script and things like that as they got down to the nitty gritty of shooting this movie. But there's so many inspirations from other horror movies, kaiju movies in this film. Besides the little gremlin horseshoe crabs, eventually they evolve into full-sized body kind of crabs. And that part of the movie, I guess, towards the end of the second act, feels very like Night of the Living Dead in some parts. The little horseshoe crabs can like take over people's brains.
Night of the Living Dead meets like the Faculty.
Yeah, it reminded me of a lot of the Faculty, especially when they got locked in the science lab to try.
Oh, yeah. If you've watched like the teen movies, your Faculties or even comedies like Idle Hands, like the vibe is very much that.
Yes. And then, surprisingly, the final act of the movie, in like one of the dumbest montages of the film, and also one of the funniest parts, they put together a robot kaiju out of just stuff in their garage.
That scene is so great because it's so nonsensical. There's so much of this movie that is nonsense, but like, you can tell someone has watched a lot of these good comedies, these off-kilter ones. Like, there's this opening where what's her name? Is it Maddie?
The younger.
Yeah.
Yes, Maddie, played by Allie Jennings.
When Maddie and Philip are going down the road, and she's kind of like riding the back of his wheelchair, and they're going. Kind of fast. They're going like power walking speed, but apparently that's too much for the local priest, who proceeds to give them the finger. But the thing is, the camera moves away from you think the gag's over, but if you actually look, he's further and further in the background still giving them the finger the entire scene, and I thought that was so funny.
The beginning of the movie definitely sells it as a different film, like, because they introduce those characters, then we get Radu, we get her mom in very short order. I thought this was going to be more of like a small town comes together, lots of different like colorful characters kind of thing. Because then you also meet the sheriff and his deputy. But it's really just like six actors in the entire film. And it does end up feeling a little small towards the end, whereas the beginning feels very large. I guess also you have those two people having sex on the beach, which you think might be characters, but I don't even know if they're named in the movie. They're just,
I don't know. I don't think they are. And that opening kill is great because not only does the crab attack the guy, she grabs a giant rock.
It's so silly.
To smash the crab. Crab leaps away and she smashes him. And I mean, it's a great sequence. I was like, okay, this is the vibe we're going for. I love this. This felt very like, if you had told me like 2010s Kevin Smith had produced this, I wouldn't bat an eye. Like this like the same guy who made like Tusk and Yoga Hosers. Like this is absolutely in line with that. It's just not as well written. Because there's so many weird gags. Like, okay, so we get the opening sequence with the teenagers, and when they get to class, they have to dissect, as a lot of kids do in science class. But are they dissecting worms or frogs or even pig hearts, Patrick?
Oh, like
normal
about.
Like normal kids would?
I what are they dissecting? That. Dead cats.
Giant wet cats.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And in the same sequence, we find out that the teacher, who already looks very young, is the mother of Maddie. And is kind of, I never got the thing of if she was just trying to push the two kids together, or if Maddie was actually harboring kind of a long-term crush. Like, they insinuate that she kind of is, but it's never really well spelled out until she kisses him at the end. But then I find out in, like, two scenes later that this teacher, who really looks like she's probably just got out of grad school, was also the science teacher for the older brother who was the town deputy.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a good age difference between the two brothers, between Philip and the deputy hunter. It feels like, you know, because one is taking care of the other once the parents passed away, it's like a 10-year gap, so it's crazy, but it's not like outside the realm of possibility.
Yes, you know? you and I went through a thought exercise of how this works. I still don't buy it. And I mean, and obviously the actress who played her is, I mean, extremely young looking anyway. And that, I mean, look, a lot of actors get away with that. I've seen plenty of 28 and 30 year olds play teenagers. The biggest example I can think of is that movie Clockstoppers, which, if anyone at all remembers that, congratulations. But she played like a 17 year old and she was like 29 at the time. So I know it happens, but I was just kind of thrown off guard because she looks hardly old enough to have had a child Maddie's age.
It's a Gilmore Girl situation. Yeah.
And I looked at but Lauren Graham actually, one, they established that she had Rory in high school. Yeah. And, you know, that works. They don't make any such statements here. They made it sound like she had a normal, like, I went to school, I went to college, and now I've been teaching for like 20 years. And I also look like I should be rushing for Sigma Nu this fall.
Obviously, it doesn't matter how old she is. The character and the actress are very attractive. And
I know you're hot for teacher.
Hunter is crazy not to have jumped on the chance. Like, he's getting high with his old teacher.
Oh no, he's absolutely going for it.
Yeah, well, they at first I think they kind of cool it off, but it's so funny that that's like a major part of the film is of young love and older love.
Because like, one, these kind of stories are always weird when you have a mother-daughter situation, because it's like, okay, well, what do you do now? Like, if the two kids are dating and the brother and the mom are dating, that's a weird Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Let's talk about the kaiju themselves, besides the cute little kind of hand puppet.
I love them.
Crabs.
I love they made the little cartoon like noises. I thought that was such a good touch because, I mean, this movie does really a really good job skating the fine line. I mean, obviously there's not a single scene where you're actually like, this is a horror movie in the Z grade territory, but like knowingly. I would say not unlike a trauma film, you know?
No.
But not as gratuitous as a trauma film.
Speaking of trauma films, I think the makeup and special effects for the movie was James Ojala, and I think he actually got his start by sending one of the films, yeah, he made as a younger filmmaker in the 90s to Troma and Lloyd Kaufman, who kind of supported him. And eventually he went on to, I forget, like one of the Citizen Toxie movie, maybe like the second one or third one.
Citizen Toxie is part four.
Oh, that's way further along. Then yes, I believe he worked on that as doing special effects.
Oh snap, he worked on I think for most of the time. Yeah, so he did work on Citizen Toxie, but he works on Angel as well, which is a very beloved show to me. Yeah, I'm scrolling through and
a lot of credits. Yeah,
a lot of credits. Oh gosh, he did Poltergeist also for Troma.
Worked on movies, TV. Worked
yeah,
on
yeah, done a lot of stuff. Some great, some not so great, but definitely a. I mean, as you would with special effects, I mean, while the movie's good, you're just hired to make the effects good.
Yeah.
Worked with Danzig on Veronica.
It's a simple, the mid-transition point of like person in suit, monster, looks good. I think it's a little simple, but I feel like the kind of hunched over background walk that they have was executed well by the suit actors that they had.
I'm super into the way everything looks here. And I mean, I will say, you know, some of the writing is a little amateurish and alongside with some of the amateurish acting, but it is very competent and it's clear that everything's done with intent. Like they have a specific vibe. And I mean, yeah, some of it's a little stilted, but I feel like this is the ideal kind of B or C grade kind of kaiju movie that you want, because like it's very easy to follow. The effects look good enough. Yes, they lean way too hard on the Radu stuff, and it look, for me Radu is the vampire from the subspecies franchise from Full Moon Pictures.
But Radu will remember that.
Also, like, I know it's this weird 80s influence of having a foreign exchange student who refers to themselves in the third person. I had several exchange students in high school and several from like Germany and Austria. Not a single one of them referred themselves in the third person.
It would have been funny if they had.
Sure.
Very funny.
But I mean, I just wanted to comment on that. But
I liked the final kaiju, crab kaiju. I liked the shark robot. People online seem to think that there is indeed a Pacific Rim reference in this movie, and that like they don't use the weapon on the robot until like later in the fight. And he's like, "Oh yeah, I've got this giant blade."
That's tokusatsu in general.
Yeah, it's just
like,
funny.
Like even with the Megazord, it's like, why did they not just have the sword drawn at the get? You know? So I feel like that's a common like kind of tokusatsu gag. I mean, he's steering the whole thing with a steering wheel and a stick shift.
Yeah, well, it's like a ship's, like a nautical wheel.
Yeah.
Which is really fun.
Also, he acts like he's taking a huge beating, and I'm like, well, first of all, you're buckled in, and below the waist, you can't feel anything. So I don't understand your, what, as soon as he gets out, he's just like, oh, I'm done for. And I'm like, what's happening here?
What a fun final stinger of an ending, though, where it has him like in Tokyo and there's like eight of these crabs.
There's eight of the crabs. Maddie's in, because he even says, I wish Maddie was here. So Maddie's in the cockpit with him. They already have like, you know, actual useful looking arms and sword drawn. And all these giant horseshoe crabs are climbing up skyscrapers and stuff in Tokyo. It's a great stinger.
It's something that didn't need to be in the movie, but it was very fun that they added it. And I feel like
I like that they did.
Just about every scene has that feeling. It feels like everyone involved with the production was throwing in input and having a good time with the filming. Like, it doesn't seem like any part of this movie dragged. You know, to make it. It's very funny. I would say
it's pretty funny. There's plenty of jokes that don't land and are a little too like, all right, calm down.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some, you know, I guess kind of cutting room floor B-side jokes.
There's also some weird AR stuff where like there's a sequence when Maddie and Philip are going to the shed. They're talking, but on screen, their mouths are not moving.
Oh yeah. Well, I feel that's just kind of like the low.
No. That's bad
production value. Yeah.
No, that I was like, come on, guys, use a take with their mouths are moving, please.
Well, that might have had to have been a change in the editing.
This is not like a Focus on the Family picture where you have nothing. You know, this is not McGee and Me.
Yeah,
but like
the movie's pretty well put together for indie film, and yeah, I was surprised that it kind of came together as well as it did, and it really is. Six or seven movies is not just kaiju movies. Spoiler warning, it's not a super kaiju heavy movie, but the ending is kaiju. I don't know what to tell you. It deserves its place on the list. Do you want to get into rating this bad boy?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, so I enjoyed this movie a whole lot. It was going into it, you know, you watch those first few minutes and think it's going to be something else entirely, but it's a lot more wholesome than I thought it was going to be. It kind of masquerades definitely in the trailer as stoner slasher, you know, indie comedy kind of thing, but it's more of just a delightful little indie, I guess, family slash like young love story. And there's this fun zombie critters kaiju twist to the end. I mean my main problem is I kind of wish this was a larger production. It's such a great kernel of an idea that I wish there was like a good another 15, 20 minutes, or maybe just expanded and had some more characters. It feels like there should have been some bullies or something in the beginning of the film that got like eaten at the prom. Like, we don't know any of their kids besides the main two and Radu, but it feels like we should, you know?
Right.
But yeah, all the characters were a lot of fun. Plot was a little simple, but very fun. You know, if I hadn't been spoiled, I don't think I would have foreseen the giant robot shark coming into this. So I'm pretty high on this one. I'm giving it a 9 out of 10 for my personal enjoyment.
Oh, that is really high.
I can watch this again right now, I think.
I'm a lot more tempered than you are on this one. While I did have a great time, and I have to stress that, like, I'm taking this kind of rating to heart, but I do have, I mean, the production does, like you said, kind of show a lot. There are some elements where the technical aspect really underserves either the characters or the sequence, like the weird brace that he makes looks like it was made by a 10-year-old. It's frankly insulting. But, and I do think, you know, the humor doesn't always land and the acting isn't always on par. That said, this movie is so fun. Like, all the creature feature stuff is great. It's done with a wonderful tongue-in-cheek style. The actors are all, like, despite the fact that sometimes they don't deliver their lines with gusto, their chemistry is great. Like, the two that played Maddie and Philip, I thought they had such phenomenal chemistry. And I believe them as, like, these, like, lifelong friends. There's a very large charm to so much of this movie. And even if you have jokes that, like, are almost like kind of a Family Guy gag where, like, Radu is, like, he's funny, and then he's funny till he's really not, and then it's so bad it's kind of funny again, and that kind of goes back and forth. The kaiju stuff is fun, but I had a good time. I will watch this again. I think it's very good. I'm not gonna, like, parlay that, like, this is anything better than what it is, so I'm giving it a 7 out of 10. It is a very good movie, though. It is a lot of fun, and I absolutely recommend people go see this one. That you will have a good time. If you're listening to this show, you're likely going to enjoy it.
The fact that it's free on Tubi, it's like, it's a no-brainer, definitely.
It doesn't hurt.
Check it out. Yeah, Dylan Riley Snyder is our main character. I'm going to be honest. I thought he was actually paralyzed. I didn't know he was like an actor, Disney actor, or I thought he was, like, you know, a find, like a local Mendocino find. So that worked on me. And then I was like, wait a minute. He's walking around with this fake brace on. He's just got such little spindly legs. Little Dylan got little spindly legs. A lot of the technical effects in this movie, I think, do a very good job of working with the budget that they have. The kind of blue screen or green screen or the superimposing of special effects. There's some stuff they just didn't need to put in there, like this action sequence at the end where Hunter drives his car, jumps out of his car, and it like goes off the cliff.
It's so dumb. But like,
it's like they didn't need to show any of that. They could have just done a couple quick zooms and pans.
100%.
But it's like this weird like CGI superimposed special effect. But yeah, they seemed to, in every aspect, like I said, to enjoy making this film. And that includes some of these very simple special effects, like the movie opens with the cooling towers of a nuclear power plant being destroyed as, you know, the reasoning behind why the crabs are mutated.
They give you that. And honestly, that sequence is like the most asylum looking thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed like maybe some assets that they had access to, and yeah, some of the explosions and things like that just aren't great looking. But
doesn't like when the explosion happens, like one of the crabs kind of like flies towards the screen, like ah!
I loved all the actors in the movie. I really liked Radu's actor. Like I said,
I like Radu's first song.
I hated his character. I hated the actor, some of the decisions the actor was doing. But he gets eaten halfway through the movie, and then I thought to myself, man, I was just starting to like Radu. And then he comes back. It's revealed he survived and starts backing on his shtick. And I'm like, are you going to stay dead?
Yeah, no, that gag does go back and forth. Like sometimes you're like, okay, this is on point. I love this. Go Radu. And then other times I'm like, you know what? I've had enough of you.
He could die for real the second time. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like I said, the script doesn't reinvent the wheel, but it is a weird pastiche, adding a lot of things together. So for its technical, I'm giving it a 7 out of 10. What about you, Miles?
Yeah, that's where I'm about. Like, I'm giving it a 7. I really would give it like a 6.5, to be perfectly honest.
We don't do halves.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I would. Would. But I'm giving it a 7 as a result, because I know we round up. Jesus. I do think that the script does stumble sometimes. Obviously, it's not always consistently funny. Some of the jokes don't really land. Some of the acting doesn't always land. But the whole of things, like I love the puppetry for the smaller horseshoe crabs. That's great. I like the suits for the kind of Buffy-sized monster horseshoe crabs. Those were great. And I really like the suit they made for the actors of the actual horseshoe crab and robot. Like, the robot design is a little sloppy, but like at the same time, like, that's part of the charm of it, because it's supposed to be a homemade thing, even though you don't buy some of the nonsense. I do think that, you know, the actor's chemistry is great. I think there's some really great gags. I think it's certainly an attractive cast. Director has a pretty good eye. I mean, sometimes, like you said, overstays the mark in certain sequences, but I mean, generally, it's a very strong movie that has a lot of flaws, and that's almost exactly what you want. Like I said at the top, this is exactly what I want from an Asylum type of movie. Like, if Asylum was doing this, I would be subscribed to whatever nonsense they do, but they don't. But I do love this production. It is like, it's one of those things where you walk away like enjoying more than respecting sometimes. But I do think it's solid, but very flawed. And I think 7 is the right score.
I could definitely watch one of these per year if they wanted to do sequels to Crabs, or if they want to go on to other animals, other kind of like pastiche movies. This movie
make a killer manatee.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
No. I look, they're one of my favorite sea creatures, but like also, you know, no one's expecting the manatees to strike back.
No one expects the manatee acquisition.
Right?
This movie is, like I said, one part Gremlins, one part zombie movie, teen kind of horror, and yeah, the last act is kaiju action. I would say really just the last 10 minutes of the movie or so, and why this doesn't rate as high on the importance scale for kaiju films, but I think just the sheer ridiculousness of that ending kind of makes up for the rest of the movie just being a lead up to that final battle. So for high marks for a kaiju light film, I'm giving this a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was. I think that this is a valiant effort. It doesn't really pay homage to a lot of the kaiju. It's paying homage to so much science fiction, but that last bit is very much, oh, this person grew up watching, you know, the Godzilla versus stuff on Sci-Fi Channel as a kid, like a lot of us did. And it is informed by that. I also do like the idea of like, oh no, it's also being informed by, hey, the nuclear option. There are a lot of hints that make this not kaiju adjacent, but it's also not a strong entry in terms of its kaijuness. So I fully agree with a 6 out of 10. That's exactly where I landed as well.
Well, if we had a Gremlins podcast, you know, this would go in that podcast well.
I mean, Gremlins is my favorite Christmas movie. I watch it at least once a year.
Okay, I know. We would have to do like every little kind of Critters movie.
Oh, we'd have to do Critters. We'd have to do Ghoulies and Munchie, yeah, and even Mac and Me. But
Mac and Me, I don't know.
It's pretty nice.
But Krabs is definitely in that.
Krabs is absolutely on that vibe
as well.
And the weird thing is, like, some of these crabs have personality. Oh, we didn't even mention there's a DJ crab.
That crab is one of the best. He kills the DJ, puts on his hat, and starts spinning.
And then starts scratching. And that's the thing is, that's, I wish they leaned more into that, because they did it once. Like, it's just the DJ crap.
Yeah. Well, then we do get a fun sequence where that preacher or priest dies at the end as he like hits the roof of their car, and like the entire town is like in chaos.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is like they didn't solve the crabs crisis in the movie, right? They killed the giant one, but are all the other crabs still killing everyone in town?
Yeah.
that wasn't solved at all. It was just,
well, the giant, you know what, crab. Did all the crabs go in to make the big crab?
I don't think that's how it worked. Big crab killed a whale kind of in the beginning of the movie. Not that
because they say there's three different types, because it's not just like a metamorphosis. It's like, oh no, there's small crabs,
or yeah, maybe
human-sized crabs, and then there's the big honker, because they made reference to the big honker. I'm gonna call it that.
Okay.
They made reference to the movie that like, hey, we found this whale, and so something else killed this, and it wasn't one of these guys.
Right.
And turns out it was big honker.
All right. Well, you know, we're both at about a 7 out of 10 for crabs, which makes our podcast final very easy. 7 out of 10.
Exactly where I wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah. It is not a great kaiju movie, but it is a great movie with kaiju bits in it.
Yeah. And I highly recommend. I mean, again, anything above 5 is worth watching, and even some things below it are worth watching, but like, post 5, it's good in some capacity, and this is absolutely a very fun watch. I highly recommend, for especially for our sci-fi minded friends and people who like this kind of schlock, absolutely seek this one out. It's free on Tubi, or you know, put your ad block on a browser and avoid the ads like I did.
Short too. It's like an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's very short.
That's why I wanted just a little bit more from it. Just a little, you know, a few more characters, a few more scenes explored. But yeah, good movie. If folks want to find us online or chat with us about crabs, where can they do it, Miles?
You can reach out to us at KaijuVersusHistory@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Blue Sky at KaijuVersusHistory. You can visit our website, KaijuVersusHistory.com. Please rate and review our show, comment, share with your friends, let us know what you think. Check out our Letterboxd account, Kaiju vs. History, to see all our reviews and watch our list of films. And visit our sister podcast, Cosmic Crit. Go to the website, cosmiccrit.com. Click on that Discord link. There is a Kaiju vs. History channel where you can talk to Patrick and I in real time, as well as other fun friends and fans of Kaiju cinema in real time. And And yeah, we'd love to hear what you thought of Crabs or what your favorite kaiju movies are. We are always excited to hear what people think, what people's passions are in this genre. We just had one of our friends, Matt, celebrate their first get from SRS Cinema, as well as some other goodies.
Classic.
Some good time. Purchases, too.
Yeah. Yes. Indeed. Yeah, that's where you can keep up with podcast news as well as fun kaiju stuff. I forgot to mention that there were some more announcements of exclusive Funko Pops that were coming down the pipe, including
the sleepy kaiju.
No, I did show that one in the Discord, but there's also a standing electricity coming out of its mouth King Ghidorah. Like a classic.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I want to say it's GameStop exclusive. And then there's another mouth like a gape Shin Godzilla that's coming. Oh, I'm all about them Funkos, so.
Well, I know.
On top of them.
My fiance was super, super into the Godzilla of Manila. I think all three of them are great. I actually think that the Sleeping Space Godzilla is probably the best one.
They're all really good. But yeah, they're. Yeah, keep up with Funko Pop news on our Discord. Yeah, so Miles, thank you for watching Crabs with me here.
Oh yeah,
we're gonna catch you next time when we celebrate the Halloween season and watch one of the most frightening kaiju movies ever made with one incredibly big, insanely red kaiju at its center. That's right. Tune in next time for History versus Clifford the Big Red Dog. We're doing it.
We're doing it.
We're doing it.